Now in year number six, it's a Yank on the Footy with Craig Wessels. Everybody sit back and enjoy a chat about the greatest game on the face of the earth. Thanks for listening, everybody, and I do hope you'll share it with your friends and family. Cheers! Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 322 of A Yank on the Footy. I'm Craig Wessels, coming to you from sunny, beautiful, recently eclipsed Sandusky, Ohio, and I'm glad you're checking out this episode. In just a moment, I'm going to be joined by Kyle and PJ from the University of Cincinnati, their Australian Rules Football Club, which was started this year and is in conjunction with a club in the USAFL. Now, folks, I do hope you'll head over to my website, yankonthefooty.com, and get signed up for the mailing list, as well as leaving a five-star review for the podcast if you enjoy the show as well over there. And sharing it would be a huge help. Absolutely would really appreciate that. Now, the club of the episode are, in fact, the aforementioned University of Cincinnati Australian Rules Football Club. And I want to wish these gentlemen and the rest of their compatriots that are participating all the best in getting this club established. It's, from what I've gathered, the only club that's in existence right now, although there have been other clubs that have been around in the past. I'm hoping that this is a group to get some longevity and get some traction, is able to go and continue for years and years to come, and that these young men and women get greater opportunities to participate in this great, great activity. Now let's go ahead and jump into my chat with Kyle and with PJ. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am thrilled to actually be talking to someone in the same time zone. In fact, the same state for the first time in a long time on the podcast. My guests this episode are students at the University of Cincinnati, the Bearcats, and they're both, again, here in the same state here in Ohio, and they are involved in getting started with what turns out to be one of the first Australian Rules Football Club at a university level here in the United States, and I'm absolutely thrilled to welcome Kyle and PJ to the podcast. Gentlemen, how are you doing this afternoon, sirs?
Doing fantastic.
We're doing great. Thanks for having us on.
You bet. Absolutely. My pleasure, guys. I was telling Kyle before we got started here, I love telling unique stories, and I don't think they get much more unique than you guys taking it upon yourselves to say, let's try, you know, you're already involved, and we'll get into this with the a USAFL club in the area, but saying, you know what, we'd like to spread this also to another route, another avenue with more people within our university structure. So first of all, for people who are listening in Australia, and that's usually about three quarters of my listeners, tell them a little bit about the University of Cincinnati before we get going here.
Sure. So the University of Cincinnati is one of the highest attended city colleges in all of the United States. We have over 50,000 students at the University of Cincinnati currently. At huge athletic university. They also just got into the Big 12, which is a Power 5 conference. Now, obviously, we're a club team, so we're not part of that Big 12, but we're still at a very large university and a real source of pride within the city of Cincinnati, which is about 2.2 or so million metropolitan population of the city in the Midwest, in Southwest Ohio.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yes, it's and I drive through there on my way to visit my my daughter who lives in North Carolina, and it's a beautiful area. You know, it's, you start seeing a little bit of the hills down there as you start moving into Kentucky, and it's a really, really nice area. So I guess we need to kind of go back to the beginning, and how did you guys first get exposed to footy in general, before we get to even you actually participating in it? How did you become fans of the game, and how did footy come into your lives? Go ahead,
PJ.
First,
PJ, take it away.
Yeah, so I started watching actually quite a few years ago, back in 2017. You know, I'd seen a couple of YouTube videos here and there, and back in the day, all the games, or almost all the games, were on Fox, which is something I had. So it was just sort of, you know, if I was up late at night, after studying or whatever, middle school, early high school, I'd turn a game on. I kind of got into it that way. Became a Freo fan pretty early on, and I've just been stuck in ever since.
Okay. Okay. So you are a Fremantle supporter. All right. And Kyle, are you a Freo supporter as well then?
I am not. I'm actually a Gold Coast Suns
That's right.
fan.
You know, we did talk about that off air.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. You guys are on opposite coastlines. The nice thing, both of you are having some success this year, and I kind of jumped all over you there, you know, as you're telling me about how you came about the game. So let me shut up for a moment and let you finish
it
there.
No, you're totally fine. So yeah, for my story, I knew about the game as far back as 2010 when I was 10 years old, but it was just kind of that game I never really followed too much. I was really focused on hockey. And then right after COVID hit, all sports shut down. And the first major professional league in the world that came back on was the AFL. And so I remember being on my mother's pre-core workout machine, just getting exercise, trying to stay fit during that time and watching AFL games. And obviously I didn't have anything to do in the morning, so I could stay up late to watch them. And I just developed a love for watching the game. Started watching the next few years. And then April of 2023, so last year, I knew about this team in Cincinnati. I reached out to them on Instagram and they're like, yeah, come out. We're about to have our first practice, blah, blah, blah. And I came out there and really fell in love with the game.
Okay. Okay. And PJ, how did you get involved to where you were actually playing in the game as well? Is that you are associated with the Dockers as well, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I even run their social medias now, but actually very similar to Kyle. Just a couple months later, I also reached out to the Dockers, but I had a bunch of travel plans over the summer. So I didn't start until maybe August, I think, like the end of summer. But yeah, just the same as Kyle this last season. Messaged to the Dockers, reached out, got in contact with Derek, started going to practices, and you know, just kept going from there.
Okay. Okay. So the idea for the university club, where did that seed first get planted? Because you know, you guys are on the ground level at something here that could possibly grow into something. You know, there's somebody else who's trying to get something off the ground, not to the success that you've had so far, but where did that little seed begin to germinate?
Sure. So it was my idea originally. What basically happened was, after COVID, apparently the Dockers joined in with the Indianapolis Giants and Louisville Kings and formed the Ohio Valley River Rats. It was kind of a loosely organized team. Didn't really practice together, but they competed together. And this past year was the last year of that. And so now we're a standalone club, Cincinnati Dockers. And I played every single game last year. We ended up playing six games. And, you know, we didn't win a single game. None of them were overly close. And I kind of looked at the group that was practicing and I said, look, we can keep working and working, working, keep developing and trying to get better. But ultimately, we need some young bodies who are new to the game, have that athleticism to really get us over the top, you know, and be able to compete against the Columbus teams, the Chicago Swans, Nashville Kangaroos. And I realized, I go to the University of Cincinnati, we got over 50,000 students between the ages of, say, 18 to 24. I'm already playing club sports. I know the athletic level of a lot of those students, and I can tell that that would be a real good avenue. So now that we're a, you know, separate entity, and a lot of those teams have metro teams below them, I thought, well, as long as we're going to have these like metro games, instead of having two random, you know, teams that we just call, oh, we're the Cincinnati Tigers, and you know, just make a little scrimmage there, why don't we make this a real collegiate team with the University of Cincinnati and grow that support, maybe grow a fan base and give students at the University of Cincinnati an option to play a sport that's not offered at any other university.
Okay. Okay. So when you decide to do that, first of all, I guess, do you have to go through the university to get the okay to actually put their name on the organization?
Oh yeah. And PJ can speak a lot more to what we've been dealing with.
Okay. So okay.
It's ongoing. We've gotten officially approved and all that. We start as an official competitive club sports team this fall, although we can play games now either way. But PJ can definitely go more into the trials and tribulations of making this an official club sports team that you see.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a lot of hoops to jump through, but none of them were too difficult. You know, there's an initial interest. We talked to the university. We talked to a couple representatives, fill out a couple forms. That leads to a couple more meetings before we have an official presentation. We present in front of a university board. They granted us approval. And I mean, you know, history kind of writes itself from there. We've been an official organization since. Like Kyle said, you know, they're a little backed up this spring. They've got a lot going on. So we're going to wait, you know, for university money to be an official club team to check the rest of the boxes until the fall. But for now, we are still an official UC student organization. I would say the whole process took us about a couple of weeks.
Okay. So once you've gotten that okay, how do you, you know, and I did see some things online where you sound like you had about 17 or so people involved with the club right now.
Yep.
How do you go about finding those people? I mean, is there something that, you know, if people are listening to this at other schools where they could maybe consider doing something like this, you know, is there a social media apparatus at your university, or is it the proverbial bulletin board that you're putting that up, the sign up there, or how's that work?
Well, there are three certains in life right now: death, taxes, and everyone at UC's campus seems to know and love PJ.
Okay. Well, hang on. Before we go further, the death and taxes part, yeah, I'm significantly older than you are, and April 15th is coming up. But how is it that I have to ask? He's a good looking kid. It's safe to say that. But how is it that everybody loves PJ? What has he done to put himself in that position?
That's a great question, PJ.
Yeah, so what Kyle's kind of getting at is, you know, right now, which it's both a blessing and a curse for us, the vast majority of our members, save for a couple that were playing before me, are mostly just my friends. You know, I've got my roommates, my classmates, a couple other friends that I've made around campus, and that's the vast majority of who we have now. I'd say that's probably roughly, I would say, 13 out of our 17 people.
Okay.
You know, there's positives and negatives that come to that, working to expand more out of, you know, just my own friend group. But yeah, it's really just, I've just kind of been bothering everyone I know for weeks, if not months, like, please come out and play, please come out and play. Uh-huh. I mean, Kyle actually coined this term and I use it all the time. The game sells itself, right? Every single person who I, once I get them to actually come out and play, they mm-hmm. all love it and they all stick around. It's really just about getting people out there.
I like that line. I mean, it's an interesting way to look at it, because I think even in viewing the game, and even if you're somebody who's not planning on participating in it, if you, you know, and especially if it's an entertaining game, if it was the Fremantle Adelaide game from this past weekend, which I have not watched it yet, did not sound to be all that exciting. It can sell itself. You know, the Essendon and St. Kilda this weekend was a great contest. Richmond and Sydney was great. Port Adelaide and Melbourne game was dynamite as well. But if people see it, I mean, you know, because I'm a high school teacher. I've been doing that for 30 years, and I'll have, you know, I've got all kinds of athletes and kids who are, you know, in class. Gosh, I think I have like four right now that are, you know, that just sit down every day and compare how many D1 offers do you have now? How many do you have? And they just keep stacking them on top of one another. They're all going to be seniors, or three of them are going to be seniors this year. One of them's going to be a junior this year. He actually had his first offer as a freshman, at a MAC school. So, and those I think will come along very soon for him. But, when they see the game, they become fascinated by what they're seeing. And let me ask you, what aspect of the game, if you saw it for the first time, what was the thing that when you first watched a game that you remember and it just kind of went and blew your mind when you saw something happen that for the first time, what was that thing that you saw that occurred that you were like, wow?
That's a good question. I think the biggest thing right off the bat is the size of the field. Because everyone, when they first see, oh, oval-shaped ball, people tackling each other, oh, that must be rugby. But uh-huh. then when you first see the game and you're like, oh, he just kicked the ball, that's going out of bounds. No, it's not. It's still in bounds. Well, then he just kicked it further to the right. No, he's still in bounds. How big is this field?
Yeah.
That to me is like the first thing that really you notice and go like, wow. And the other one I'd say is you look at the score. Mm-hmm. And obviously it's goals behind the total score. But
right,
if you
right.
don't know goals worth six, it just looks like random numbers on the board and you don't know what the score is. So it, right. that takes a minute too for people to understand. No, the goals, you do that times six plus the behinds. There you go.
Yeah.
There's a score.
Yeah.
There's a score.
What, how about you, PJ? Yeah, what about you, PJ? What jumped out at you?
That was I definitely second Kyle's the shape of the field, but I think also for me it was very much just sort of the style of play in general, mm-hmm. right? You've got this big field and you know you've got this almost rugby looking ball, but now everyone's sort of mixed in all together. But the ball movement's almost more like soccer, you know, short, long passes. But wait, now they're using their hands. Like, mm-hmm. what is really going on? I think it's, you know, it's very much its own sport. And it's sort of like this mix of a lot of, like, for us Americans in particular, like, we can sort of see 3 to 4 different sports within this one sport. I think that's what really captured me at first, was just the idea that it's just so different and it's just so unique, even though it might look like a couple things on the surface level.
Yeah, yeah. The thing that my students will, you know, and I'll have a game on in the morning before school, or maybe I'll be watching one during my conference period or during lunchtime, I'll have something on. But when they see a specky, you know, especially the kids who are receivers, they're like, wait a minute, they're allowed to do that? Yes, that's celebrated. Yes, that's absolutely celebrated right there. You know, it's, but yeah, the sheer volume of the field and the ground and the size is can be daunting. And I guess it leads me to asking you then, have you been able to find something to replicate that, or are you just working within a smaller setting right now as you're doing some of your initial training with your players, or have you tried to actually, you know, with the limited number of players you have right now, is it not necessarily a requirement for you to have that large of a surface area to practice on?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we have a soccer field, it's called Gettler. We also have a football field at our university called Nippert. They're both good size. I mean, you're talking about soccer size field to play on. Larger than that, it's hard to find on campus. Mm-hmm. So we have a place called Kellogg Fields. It's about 15-minute drive from campus that can really simulate that. For right now, though, with the amount of players we have, the biggest things that we're working on is just simple goal kicking, being able to do those handballs to each mm-hmm. other, be efficient with that. And then the hope is this fall, I don't know if we'll be able to practice, but our hope is to at least have one game this fall at UC's baseball stadium.
Okay.
And what's nice is the infield there is all turf.
Okay. Okay.
So we can create a smaller US, basically a smaller sized Australian rules specific field mm-hmm. within that field. It would probably be good for say 12-on-12.
Okay. It's not gonna
be the same size as say Sydney cricket ground or Melbourne mm-hmm. cricket right, ground. Right. But it will be large enough that we can definitely play at least 12-on-12
okay.
within those lines in an oval size field.
Okay. So you had your first game this weekend, and it had to be a bit of a mixed, was it a mixed emotion kind of a thing, because you were competing against people that you're also playing alongside. So
yeah.
how did that work out for you this? And I did see the score, and we can get into that if you choose to, but it was a first experience for everybody. And how did it go? I mean, did they got done? They're like, that was a hell of a lot of fun, or, oh my God, what did I sign up for?
So that's the first positive takeaway. They were all very happy. They all said that they enjoyed it a lot and they want to come back. That's ultimately the biggest positive takeaway, I will say. And, you know, ultimately the game went well. We got about 12 or 14 guys out there for our team. We competed against the Dockers. The Dockers had actually a pretty complete roster lineup. It honestly, the first half wasn't bad. The first 5 or so minutes, it took a while for our players to get the feel of the game.
Uh-huh.
but after that, it stayed pretty consistent, pretty even. We were only down, I think, 11 points, maybe 12 points at halftime. So okay. It was pretty close. And then I think they just, there's so much cardio that needs to be built up to compete
right.
in the game. And I think after halftime, the we're only having 12 to 14 players just kind of wore on us, and we gave up a few more goals. We also should have scored a goal, but, and I'm not kidding, the player was as close to the goal as I am to my computer screen right now. But when he went to kick this easy goal, it shot directly right of him. And about two or three of our players fell to our knees like, oh my God, that would have been our first goal in history. But other than that, it went well. We have another game against them on April the 13th.
Okay.
And the Dockers also play a few games in May. And obviously all of our players are Dockers players as well. So they'll be part of the Dockers team for those.
Oh, so everybody that's part of the university club is also associated with the Dockers.
100%, because we're
outstanding.
Underneath. Yeah.
So outstanding. Okay.
It's a win-win for everyone.
Yeah.
The Dockers get Metro games against a real team. They don't have to like combine and make some, you know, little scrimmage, whatever. And every student that they get for the University of Cincinnati, when they're not playing us and they go to say compete against Columbus or Indianapolis or Cleveland or Nashville, all of our players can play for them as well. No problem. We're all considered a part of the same USAFL senior team.
Okay. Okay. So, you're still actively recruiting now, I would imagine, correct? You'd love to add more people in. How does that work? If you happen to just be walking around campus and you pass somebody who's 6'2" at 195 pounds, and you notice that they're not wearing a varsity jacket from the University of Cincinnati, and you go, hey, how does that sales pitch go? Because you're studying finance, so you're in business, so
yep.
This is some good practice for you when you get out into the workforce then.
Quite a sales pitch, yeah. A lot of my classes I do online asynchronous, so I'm not on campus as much as PJ is.
Okay.
So that's mainly PJ's domain, but I'll definitely let PJ speak on that. We're also hopefully pretty soon going to talk to some of the guys on UC's rugby team, maybe their club soccer team, and go down those avenues, go to them and say, hey, do you have any players that aren't playing a whole lot, want to get their cardio up, want to try a new sport? We don't want to eat into any of these teams' players, but if of them want to give an opportunity and a chance to try that, we're more than happy to offer that, as well as we're putting posters up around campus before our games and saying, hey, come out to a practice. Here's our next game. Come out, support and play. So that's kind of our mentality right now for acquiring more players. But PJ can really speak to when he approaches someone 6'2" or even 5'2". That
Yeah, give some credit to Kyle. Anytime we're practicing and he sees even someone generally athletic walk by, I just sort of watch his eyes dart, he just chases after him halfway down the campus, gonna go
track about the sport. Down. About the sport. I'm not with you.
I had not even planned on mentioning the term restraining order during this conversation.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, you never know. But give some credit to Kyle. He does this a lot too. Just doesn't get the chance because he's online mostly. It's really just about having a conversation with them about it. Right? Like, that's why we got these, that's why we got these shirts made. It's all about starting and keeping that conversation going. If someone walks by, 50% of the time, it's them coming up to us versus us coming up to them. Right. It's a little 30-second conversation. Go check out our Instagram. Go check out our Twitter. I'll add you to our group chat in case you ever want to come out. It's just about having these conversations with people. Right. Like, if anyone asks me, I'm having casual conversation when they ask me what I'm doing, it's the first thing I mentioned. Right. It's all about just, putting it towards them and just having that 30-second conversation.
Okay. Now, do you and this just popped into my head as we were talking about this, because you were talking about having posters up around campus. You said you have links to like Instagram and your Twitter or X and that sort of thing. Have you put on there like a QR code for the what is AFL YouTube video to show people like what the game even, to what it is. So they have a bit of an idea of like, okay, this is interesting. Or, even like a link to the USAFL's website so they can see that this is something that's not, something that is, just starting to sprout up here. This is something that's happening. It's all over the United States, but then, it's also a major sport, in, a significant, other part of the planet as well.
Yeah, I don't know. We put both those on our
Twitter. Okay, cool.
Thus far, cool. But we've got a link tree. That's where the QR code goes to.
Okay.
And we're definitely looking to add both those in the near future to give people more context.
Okay, I'm going to look here and see if the, I'm going to get your link tree on there on my, on the notes here when we do this. So,
for sure. You can just go on our Twitter account and that's where you can find our link tree.
Okay. Okay, I'll look. Yeah, I'm just opening up the Twitter right now for it then. So, yeah, I do see the link tree. So I will make sure that I add that in there when I put out the notes for it then as well then. Okay, cool. So now I know you're working on building it on your campus right now, but have there been discussions that have taken place where you've said, should we talk to the folks at Miami of Ohio and at Xavier and at Wright State and the University of Dayton, which are all within maybe 45 minutes of where you happen to be, to try to maybe even grow this little localized club sport area where, you could have, something built in, which maybe those folks could then also feed into the Dockers as well.
You're hitting right on it. And we're already in the process of doing that.
Outstanding. Outstanding.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's funny that you bring that up. I mean, Kyle and I were having that conversation just earlier today. He brought the idea to me, not that long ago, like, hey, let's go hit other campuses. So we've been shooting that idea back and forth. Nothing official yet. We do have a couple places we're looking to target. For us, Kyle actually did a really great job running the numbers on that. We sort of identified Xavier, NKU, and Miami as probably our three best fits, at least for the beginning. So nothing official yet, but yes, we are looking to, in the fall, bring some stuff to those campuses. And I'm sure Kyle can talk more about that too.
And I didn't even think about the other side of the river. I didn't factor in where Northern Kentucky was in relationship to you, but I guess it's a lot closer than I realized it.
So I ran the numbers. So Xavier University, obviously you'd have that, we'd call it the crosstown clash. It's in the crosstown shootout for basketball. Xavier's got about 6,800 students about, and they don't have a great field for it, but either their baseball field or their soccer field in the interim could work. Northern Kentucky University, that's what NKU is, the only who doesn't know the region. NKU has over 15,000 students, and they have a recreation field on campus that could work well for that. And then the one I'm really excited about is Miami University. They have close to 20,000 students, and they have a field called Cook Field right on campus. The dimensions are large enough for a full 18-on-18 full size field, and it'd be perfect. And then some other schools down the road to look into would be University of Dayton, Wright State. Both of those are Dayton schools.
Right.
Dayton University to UC is like, I think it's like 55 minutes. Wright State's like an hour and five. But Miami University is the furthest, and it'd be 45 minutes. Northern Kentucky University, I think, is like less than 15.
Okay.
And then maybe University of Kentucky far down the road, as well as talking to the Columbus Cats on if they want to start, say, an Ohio State team. So that's what we're focusing.
Which I was going to say, that would make sense it would make sense for for clubs that are in the USAFL that have a major university or maybe a couple that, and again, I don't, Cleveland doesn't, Cleveland State is there, but it's not a huge university, but you've got, you get John Carroll, you've got Baldwin Wallace, you've got several schools in the Cleveland area. The Dockers the Cannons are just reconstituting themselves this year. But, and I don't know how the politics of club sports would work as far as whether or not, small schools would allow an overlap, if that would be an okay thing for them to have happen or not. I don't know if there's that sort of an agreement that could be worked out or not. But this makes sense to actually start something like this at the university level, if you possibly can, because as you guys are saying, this becomes a pipeline for that local club. And even if they, I'm assuming, I'm assuming, Kyle, that, you know, upon graduation, ideally you would love to find a career in the Cincinnati area.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, but let's just say that you found a job in, say, Nashville, for example, that, you know, you could, you know, go and still maybe participate with the Kangaroos down there. Wow. Or, you know, if you happen to be in the Nashville area or whatever, you know, major metropolitan area you were nearby, you could kind of, you know, ply your craft with that club right there then. So even if they would only be there for, you know, a short period of time with that club, it might lead to the growth of the game, you know, in and around, you know, the rest of the country. And there's been this big goal of trying to get, you know, more and more people involved in the USAFL. I remember the conversation I had with Jim Henderson from the North Texas Devils where, you know, there was a goal of trying to get, you know, 5,000 people playing footy in the United States. And he said, we've got 5,000 people playing rugby just in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Yeah.
You know, it's so it's. Yeah.
The way that I think of it is, how do you grow the game in this country? Mm-hmm. The answer is you get more people picking up an Australian football and trying the sport than you do people putting a ball away and never touching it again.
Right, right.
You can't really control when people hang up the laces. They don't want to play the game anymore.
Right.
What you can't control is how many people pick up a ball. And that's how every sport takes off. You get enough people playing it recreationally and trying it, and eventually it grows exponentially and catches on. So we can't control, right, the speed at which people go, all right, I've had enough, so on and so forth. We can try mm-hmm. to keep people engaged. But the biggest thing that we can do is let people know that the sport exists mm-hmm. and give them an opportunity and outlet to try out the game. Because like I said, the game sells itself.
Right, right. And
a lot of people that try it want to play it.
Have you guys, you know, and I was a bit of an atypical college student because I had spent time in the military before I headed off to college. So I was not your typical, you know, right out of high school, go to college person. So my timetable was a little different than others, but I know that college students tend to have some late evenings on rare occasions. It's been known to happen. Have you had any sort of watch parties with games where you've invited, you know, come over, you know, not saying, hey, you know, free beer, you know, not that sort of thing, but hey, you know, here's this sport, you know, you want to, we're going to be watching the game here. You want to come over and check it out, that sort of thing. It, you know, it might be, even if it's a game that had already been played, that, you know, this was a phenomenal game. And if we put this one up on the television, you know, they're going to be, you know, mesmerized by what they see from this particular contest, because we know that this was a good one.
Yeah, actually, we did already. It was one of the first things we'd sort of talked about. Sort of like, you know, we've both watched the game for a number of years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, especially, I mean, for college kids, a 10 or 10:30 game does not sound that late, especially on a Friday or Saturday night. Like, you're up then probably anyway. So, yeah, I think it was not this past weekend, the weekend before. I think it was the AFL week two is what it was.
Okay.
Maybe week one. We watched the Frio game. We had good numbers. I think probably about 8 to 10 guys showed up. We just did it in my dorm, just mm-hmm. sat around and watched it. But yeah, that is something we've done. Something we're going to
outstanding. Outstanding.
It's just good to get them to see the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause you know, you can watch the highlights, but for me particularly, I think it's oftentimes a lot more helpful to watch the full game in of itself than mm-hmm. just watch the highlights. Cause you know, you got to see how they get to the point where they make the spectacular plays. Cause
we don't
have that skill quite yet. So, you know, you got to see how they work together, the team, how they move that ball, that sort of stuff. So yeah, it is something we've done. Definitely something we're going to continue.
That's a great point. I mean, I've tried to get my wife to watch the game and I've already told her she's going to be the focus of a blog post on my website or an actual episode, because she refuses to watch footy, but she's watching the Australian version of Survivor and Amazing Race and Married at First Sight and all the baking shows and all of this stuff. But we've been married now for 29 years, I believe now. I think it's 29 years. Yeah. 28 years, something like it's something. My son's 27. I know that. Yeah. Yeah, I think it was 28, 29 years. So doesn't matter. She'll be pissed at me for not remembering the exact year. But You know, I even sent her, you know, several years ago, I found a couple news articles where, you know, the clubs are out training at the beach, you know, and they were, you know, they were all out there in their budgie smugglers or their speedos, you know, running in the sand and such. And I sent her these articles. I thought, well, this might spark her interest in the game. No, not at all. I said, yeah, these guys pretty much wear the exact same thing when they're out there playing. So she's not chosen to watch yet. So, oh, well. Oh, well, but, you know, we talked, you know, a little bit, Kyle, you know, off air beforehand. You know, you have, a kind of an in-house, quasi expert on the game on the campus of the University of Cincinnati that, you know, yeah. in the football team's punter. And for those of you in Australia, what, you know, share with who this person is, because they may not know. I've actually had Nathan Chapman, who's one of the people that runs Pro Kick Australia, who this young man worked with to find his way to Cincinnati. I had him on the podcast back in 2020, like episode 25 of the podcast. So several years ago, I had him on the show. But tell us about him, and have you reached out to him?
Yeah, so this is separate from our club. This is pure coincidence and a lucky one.
Okay.
Our current American football team, our starting punter is Mason Fletcher. His father played 23 years, 400 games for the Essendon Bombers. I believe he's a future Hall, either current or future Hall of Famer in the AFL. And yeah, Mason has a background in Aussie rules, and we're trying to get him out to a practice or maybe even a game or two for us this mm-hmm. year.
Yeah, I messaged him, I think about 2 months back. Unfortunately, he was had surgery, was suffering through an injury, but recently did come back. So, you know, definitely going to start that conversation back up again, try to get him back out here. But yeah, I mean, couldn't be better for us, the luck.
Yeah. And we want to, part of what we want to do with this club is any Australian, and anyone from Australia listening that's about to be college age, we would love to have you at our university, and we're currently the only university in North America that has an Aussie rules team. So if you want to come to America, get an education here, and still play your native sport, the sport that you love, we'd love to have you. We want to be the destination in North America for Australians to come play the sport that they love here in America and go to college while here.
That's a pretty good sales pitch. And it's a university that offers everything. As you mentioned, it's got a student body population of about 50,000 people. So we're not talking a small camp. It's on par with Ohio State in terms of the size of the campus.
Oh yeah. Oh, it's yeah. Massive. It's massive.
Yeah.
And there's nothing that is offered at other schools that aren't offered at UC. University of Cincinnati is an amazing university. It's a very good academic school. Their business school which is what I go to. It's called the Leonard College of Business. Mm-hmm. It was rebuilt, brand new building as of a few years ago. The place looks in the future. I mean, it is unbelievable. It looks like you transport 50 years in the future when you walk into that building, and they have newer buildings still. I mean, PJ, when you walk into, I forget what the name of the building is, but it's on the, I believe, the far western edge of campus. Talk a little bit about what it's like when you go into there.
Yeah, I mean, I think a really good way to talk about kind of the place, like the place that UC as a school and a campus is at right now, is that it's continually growing, right? We have a joke at UC that UC stands for under construction. we're constantly expanding, they're constantly building new buildings. Like he said, I also go to the business college. I'm there every day. It's great. They just built a new multi-purpose building, Clifton Court Hall. Every single year, they're redoing a different dorm. And they're not just rebuilding things, they're offering new things. I mean, you talk about Australian football, but, you know, the redoing of the business building, they rehashed the whole business college as a whole. It's growing very fast mm-hmm. for a number of reasons, but it's a really exciting time to be here. You know, 10, 15 years ago, I don't think anyone who went to UC would be able to walk on campus today and recognize the university for what it is. I mean, it's grown so much, and the end isn't really in sight, which is, I think, probably the most exciting part, is that there's at least 10 to 15 more years of planned growth, planned expansion to come.
And what's important too about this is you think of a lot of college towns as just this, you got the campus, then you got maybe a small little town, you got cornfields. What's great about the University of Cincinnati is you're within a 5-minute drive. You could even walk if you really needed to from downtown Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. We got 3 major league sports teams. We got 6 Fortune 500 companies and many more very large scale companies. We have so many different amenities. We are basically a large city with a small town feel. And you get that when you come to the University of Cincinnati and get to live in the greater Cincinnati area. It's an amazing place to visit.
Okay. That's a pretty good selling point. I'm on the other end of the state, right up on, I'm within just a few blocks of Lake Erie. So I'm very, very close, to the lake and within like 2 minutes of Cedar Point. So I'm, I walk every day to the causeway with my dog, which is going to happen here in the next few minutes, and get him out for his afternoon constitutional, if you will. But, it's, have you run across any Australians on campus at this point in time yet? And I don't even know, I don't know in terms of like privacy laws, whether or not you could go to like the student services office or the enrollment office and say, who are the international students, and can you cross code and possibly just, drop this into an email to these, the students who are from Australia that, that we've got this club going on here. Is that something that has been attempted?
Yeah. We've met a couple, one or two Australians. More so, we've met kids who either lived in Australia for a bit. We actually had a kid come out and play over the weekend for the first time, whose dad grew up in Australia, is a massive footy fan.
Okay.
So more of that type of thing. I don't think they would allow us to, specifically target international students from a specific country. But we do our best to try to reach out to them, through, the legal and moral.
Right, right. Yeah, like I said, I didn't know if they would actually let you do that. I doubt that they would, but never hurts to ask, Could always,
But I think it's also important, we're not doing this specifically to target Australians.
No, absolutely, yeah.
But this is about anyone at the university getting a chance to try the national sport of Australia, mm-hmm. and learning to love this game as we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it is, I think it's the greatest game on the planet. I do. It's, you guys have mentioned all the different ones. I've always, referred to it as kind of being an amalgamation of, American football, rugby, a little bit of volleyball, some basketball, a little hockey, cross country running, and mixed martial arts and calculus. I mean, there's, you got to factor all of that stuff in there, and it's, I've had a little success with getting, some folks interested in the game, but it's not been a lot of the principal at my high school is an Essendon supporter. He started following the game a few years ago and chose to be an Essendon supporter. He's a Steelers fan too. So, I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, it's, yeah.
Well,
although, I would, as a lifelong Browns fan, I would cheer for the Steelers before I would cheer for the Ravens. I mean, I've said this before, but if my first wife owned an NFL team and they were playing the Ravens, I would go sit in the owner's box to cheer against the Ravens. That's how much I hate the Ravens.
as Bengals fans, we're extremely passionate for our team, but we also do have a little bit of apathy. We've never won a Super Bowl, and it'd be nice if that could happen, and definitely in my lifetime, but hopefully next few years, we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that, that we do both, all three of us, and I'm assuming PJ, Bengals fan.
No, you're going to hate me, Craig. I'm from the East Coast. I'm a Baltimore Philly guy.
If you're an Eagles fan, that's okay.
No, I'm a Ravens fan.
Oh, son of a
bitch. I like the Eagles too, but I'm a Ravens fan. That's why I chose for you. I love purple.
Well, I guess we're just going to have to go ahead and edit his entire part of the conversation. No, I'm kidding. you know why I feel that way about the Ravens, don't you? Okay.
Ravens fans feel the same way about the Colts.
Oh, absolutely. About the Colts. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's, I think that, Ravens fans, we, If you know, if somebody from the Ursay family was on fire, you wouldn't pee on them to put them out.
Yeah.
We feel that way about Art Modell. You know, it's yeah, absolutely, yeah. So, so before we wrap up here, I mean, have you guys? I know your college students, so you know, finances are somewhat limited, but did you, you know, end up getting yourself like the Watch AFL app so you can access the games whenever you want? Or
I bought it.
Okay.
I had my birthday a few days ago. I always get that as like my yearly birthday
okay.
present. Just give my login information to PJ and it goes from there.
Yeah,
so,
okay. I steal his login as a classic college student move.
There you go. Do you get it through the app or do you get it through your through the Suns?
Through the app.
Okay, because you know, because if you buy an international membership through your club, it's usually a little less expensive, but then you'll also get like a usually like a $20 or $30 voucher for stuff from the club's team shop. So it kind of pays off. You know, it's usually a little less expensive because you get the code for the Watch AFL app as well. Because I get mine through my Cats membership, and it runs me about $125 US for the year. But then I get a $20 voucher from the team shop as well. Because I plunked down about $320 US on stuff. Back around the first of the year, I bought a few new sweatshirts and that sort of thing at the team shop to, you know, so, but yeah, that's something to think about that in the future. Cause it might, you know, get you a little bit more bang for your buck. Cause then you could, you know, you start rocking the Gold Coast stuff around campus or the Fremantle stuff around campus. And people are going to start asking questions about that. Now,
I wear my Guernsey around when I can, you know,
there you go.
I know Kyle, I know you have something Guernsey, maybe a hat. Yeah. I mean, that's another thing. We try to wear those as often as possible.
Yeah. Do you carry a footy around with you at all?
I mean, some, you know, it's an awkward shaped ball. So, you know, I'm not exactly taking it to class, but
yeah,
I try once a week outside of practice. We'll get a couple of friends together and we'll just go try to find some open grass or turf space and go kick
there
the
you
ball.
Go.
Just get a little more visibility out there.
It's to use the fishing analogy, you're just out there trolling a little bit. Let's see if anything bites. I like it. It's a nice advertising there. Well, gentlemen, I'm thrilled that you guys are having success at getting this thing organized that you are. And I hope that other students at other campuses around the country take notice of this and start to consider something like this on their campus. Cause I know a lot of places will have the club hockey and soccer and baseball and, you know, rugby and, you know, everything else. But, you know, this is something that a lot of those folks, especially kids that maybe played, you know, gridiron football, there isn't necessarily, you know, club gridiron football for kids to play anymore. Because, you know, once you've finished playing high school football, and there are a lot of great high school football players that don't go on to play collegiately. I'm thinking of one of my former students who is on your campus right now, who was, you know, an all-conference linebacker for a couple of years, who would probably make a pretty decent midfielder for you. But
contact information.
he also grew up playing hockey too. He and his brother. So
yeah.
So I commend you for what you're doing with this, and I wish you the absolute best. And it's a lot of fun. And when I talked to the guys from Pro Kick in Australia, they said that, you know, their goal was to eventually have every punter's position at every school in the United States occupied by an Aussie. Yeah. And there are dozens and dozens and dozens of them here right now that are doing this, that very thing, and getting their education here. And it's been a great win-win situation for the universities as well as for the student athletes as well.
Yeah. So if there's any Australian that's interested in going to college in America, reach out to us on Twitter and Instagram. We'd love to talk to you. And if there's any people listening to this who go to university in North America, they're thinking, hey, maybe I want to start an Aussie Rules team at my university. Once again, just reach out our Twitter, Instagram, DM us, and we'd love to help talk you and walk you through the process.
And speaking of Instagram and Twitter, what might those handles be so they could reach out to you?
Sure. I'm the admin for the Twitter account. It's just UCFooty, UCFOOTY. And for you, PJ?
Yeah, for Instagram, we're just UC_AussieRulesClub. But if you search up UC Aussie Rules Club or Cincinnati Aussie Rules Club, we'll come up. So
okay. Okay, and I will put links. Those are in the link tree. I will have those in the show notes as well when this comes out. But gentlemen, PJ, Kyle, I want to thank you guys for taking time out of your evening here for this chat. I mean, this is, I think it's wonderful what you're doing. And, you know, I don't think that we'll ever find a time where this sort of thing begins at the high school level, but I think at the college level where you've got, you know, a conflagration of high school athletes who no longer have that outlet is a perfect place for it. And you guys ought to be damn proud of yourselves for getting this thing up off the ground. And I think also it is going to be something that is going to be very beneficial to you when it comes time to sit down for job interviews and that sort of thing, be able to demonstrate, look, this is what we got organized and got up off the ground and got running. So, I mean, that's really, really fantastic, guys. And I want to thank you for taking time out and sitting down to chat with me today.
Thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate it. We'd love to be on again when you'd like for us to be on.
You bet. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for giving us a voice. We're just trying to get our message out as far as possible.
Anything absolutely. Else? Yeah. And when I'll share it with you when it's all said and done, and share it far and wide. And I wish you all the best. And if you're in Dublin in June, hopefully I can run into you there, because I do plan on being there for that. And maybe we'll get a chance to chat. I'm going to bring my portable stuff with me down there to do some recording while we're there.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Cheers.
Likewise.
All right, Kyle, PJ, guys, I want to thank you for taking time to sit down and chat with me. I appreciate you sharing the work that you're putting forth in getting your organization up and off the ground. I know you're playing again this weekend on the 13th. I want to wish you all the best. Ladies and gentlemen, look out for one another. Check up on your friends. Give them a call. Make sure they're okay. Reach out to them. If you need to talk to somebody, those numbers are in the show notes of every single episode of the podcast. Please reach out and talk to somebody. Remember, folks, you can find everything related to the podcast over at my website, yankonthefooty.com. I hope you'll get on the mailing list. If you enjoy the podcast, you can leave a review there as well. If you want to help out the podcast, you can click on that Buy Me a Coffee button if you'd like to, or check out my Redbubble store there as well. You can always reach me on any of my socials at @yank_on Twitter, Yank on the Footy podcast, Yank on the Footy on Instagram and Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn as well. You can also reach me at yankonthefooty@gmail.com. Thanks for checking it out, everybody. I appreciate you listening to the episode. I do hope you'll share it, because we're trying to grow the game here in the United States, and these two young men are doing yeoman's effort at doing just that. And ladies and gentlemen, as always, may your dribble kick never hit the post. I will catch you later. And this has been episode 322 of A Yank on the Footy. Thanks for checking it out. I hope you'll share it. And until next time, cheers and goodbye.